I've been looking forward to this Youth Express segment for a while. Manufacturing is not only back, it never really left, but there's a misperception, I think, that there aren't many jobs in manufacturing here in the Pittsburgh area, as well as frankly nationally. But if you're listening anywhere in Pennsylvania, Ohio, in the Northeast, there actually is a huge gap. Studies show that the jobs needed this year and for coming years, compared with the education or training people currently have aligned themselves to, if you sort of plot those trends out, there's a huge gap. And that means there's a huge opportunity for youth to who might have a passion in areas related to manufacturing and might not even know they do because there are things related to it that aren't immediately evident, to have a great career. And today we're going to talk with a few youth that are involved in the BOTS IQ program. But I first want to just introduce you to Bill Patnos, who can tell you a little bit more about what I just happened to mention.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having us here. Southwestern Pennsylvania BOTS IQ is a program of the Pittsburgh Chapter and National Tooling and Machining Foundation. This program has been designed, we're actually in our 12th year, to really engage students in the manufacturing process of designing, building, testing, or destroying, and rebuilding 15-pound bots in a gladiator-style competition. But really what we're trying to do, and as you mentioned, is there are 2 million open positions in manufacturing by 2025. So therefore, we have to figure out how we get students to understand, explore, and consider manufacturing as a viable career option, getting involved in the process of building this bot, getting connected with local manufacturers is one way to do that. And we have three amazing examples here of students who have really learned by being a part of the program and how that's really taken off and what their potential pathways are going to be.
One of the neat things, as I understand it, about the BOTS IQ program is it exposes you to the broad range of things that you need if you're going to get involved in a manufacturing or allied career. It's everything from the physical to, you know, design and desktop work. There's so many things, and you get a chance to get exposed to those. So let's meet everybody that's here today. Zach, I'm going to start with you. This is Zach Knight. Can you tell me a bit about yourself?
I'm a mechatronics major at Cal U. I'm a freshman. I competed in BOTS IQ for 4 years, and I've been volunteering for about another 2 years with the program.
And where was your high school?
I went to Plum Senior High School.
So you were a Mustang. And before I forget, anybody you would like to say hello to that will listen, is either listening now or might listen on demand later?
Honestly, I don't know.
Well, that's okay. Eddie, some people like to do shout-outs. I just want to be sure I give you that chance. You're getting too old for a shout-out, maybe. So what got you interested in BOTS IQ to begin with?
Honestly, I found out it because my brother was in the program. And that I took the chance, watched what was going on, and said, this is really cool. I want to get to know more about it. And when I actually got in the program, I learned that it was more than just, oh, people are building robots and battling them. It's a whole different spectrum.
We'll talk more about that in a moment, but let me also introduce you to Ashley McGee, who is here. Ashley, tell me about yourself. It would help if I turned your microphone on. Let's do that again.
I go to Yawk High School. I'm a senior this year. And I also go to Central Westmoreland Career and Technology Center for mechatronics. So it's also my fourth year there, too.
So how does that work with your high school? Do you go to high school in the morning and then in the afternoon you're at this other school?
Yeah. In the morning I stay there till like 11:15, and then I leave and go to mechatronics. And
are you too cool for a shout out to anybody? Anyone listening you want to say hello to?
No, not really.
Well, that's cool. I know Thomas's family is here. Are those your brothers?
Yeah.
Out there, what are their names?
That's my mother, Sean, and that's my dad, Tom.
Okay. And what about those, are those kids? Oh, those belong to Bill. Who are they, Bill?
Well, my son, Ari, and then Ashley's brother is here.
Hi. Oh, that's Ashley. Okay. Now we have everybody accounted for. Thomas, tell me about yourself.
I'm 17. I go to the Fox Chapel High School. I've been doing Bots IQ for about 2 years now, and I've been doing Combat Bots for 4 years. You know, I learned about the program from freshman year. We were in a class, and Grim, which is my robotics teacher, kind of drafted us into it. And from there, you know, I kind of liked doing it, so I found out about Bots IQ 2 years later. I started doing that, and that opened up a chance to go to New Century Careers, a program run by Bill and them.
Excellent. And let's talk about what you actually do. This has been going on pretty much for the whole school year, right? And I would love for you to just engage in some conversation. Have you all met one another already, or is today the first day that you've met each other?
I've seen him.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine that Zach's around as a coach or as somebody who's helping. So who can tell me a little bit about how the process starts and what you do?
It honestly starts from at the beginning of the school year, the end of the last school year, you know. You get together with your teacher and the kids who draw up CAD. And you start drawing up the bot, you know, how you want it, what kind of weapon you want. And you finesse that, and after that, you send them to your industrial partner.
So the beginning is using CAD or computer-aided design or drafting? What's the D?
It's really the same thing. It's really the same thing, many of you put it. But that's, you know, the big part of that process is the planning first. You don't – in the manufacturing process, you plan it out. You start doing design work. A lot of steps before you even start making the building process. The building process comes very late in the timeline.
So there's so many different skills that you need to do that part of it. That is not something I think I would be necessarily very good at, but somebody who's good at art or who just has ways of visualizing things in their head really well would be good at something like that. Plus, I suppose you have to kind of imagine how the components and pieces are going to fit together, so you need good technical knowledge too. Was that challenging, Ashley, to do the CAD part? Were you involved with that at all?
I wasn't really involved with CAD because I didn't really like understand it, but I do like all the wiring and stuff like that.
Cool.
Of a electrical kind of.
And how about for you, Thomas? Did you get involved in the CAD?
So I don't do the CAD very much, but everything I do, the electronics I do, the actual building of the robot, the milling, I'm more of the just actual mechanical, put it together.
Yeah, you're both more like I would be. What, Zach, any involvement at that early stage?
Not in high school, actually. Since I got to college, we've established a club there. I've found that we've gone through at least 14 revisions on one robot.
Wow. What is can you describe a few revisions just so we can get some examples? You all can. I mean, clearly it's a change to improve something, but what might that be like?
For the example we took and we were watching a competition one day and we said, okay, this is what we want the robot to be. I actually had the chance to go and watch what their competitions are going to be for prelims and was able to say, okay, this needs to be four-wheel drive, modified that, and then every time you find one little error, it like repercussions all the way through the design, and you have to make one tiny change in it, you change everything.
Wow. Did you guys have to make these changes as well?
Yeah.
So I probably should ask and should have began with, we're talking about the, you know, battles that are going to be taking place, like battle bots. 15 pounds, I heard mentioned earlier by Bill. Are there other parameters that you know about that your robots must meet in order to qualify or in order to
you know, win? Are you trying to knock each other out? Or what is the competition? How do you win?
So the whole point of the competition is there's 3-minute rounds. You can either – the whole point is to either knock your opponent out and mobilize them.
Okay.
Or if that doesn't happen, you go through 3 minutes of battle and it goes to the judges. And the judges then decide by points of aggressiveness, you know, how well you're driving, how many times you've hit, how defensively you can be. And they decide who wins then.
Okay, that's kind of what I assumed, but I just wanted to be sure. So can you describe a change you made and how it rippled through everything else you've done? Did anybody have to make a change like that, I know here at the radio station, if I make one little change, it often affects, you know, 20 or 30 things, and we have to think really hard about what those are before we make the change. Did that happen to either of you?
It happened on a small scale for us. It didn't change a lot. For example, is off front, they were too. The angling was too. How do I put it? Not steep enough, and we had to mill that down because it wouldn't get under any robot, and then we had to add hinges onto it.
So it had to be more like sharper, so
yeah.
It could be like more of a nose to go underneath. Interesting. So what do you do when you change? I mean, you change the angle. I guess you go back and change the drawing. Is that what you do first?
I mean, yeah. You do have to come up with a drawing. You know, you go off the old one. You come up with this is how it needs to be. Because in order for the wonk, you also have to put it in the book, which is necessary for the 15-pounder.
And what's the book?
The book is it's pretty much a big part of the competition. It's you go through the progress, you know, you document everything you've done, the parts you buy, you know, that you put all your CAD drawings in, and they judge it at the competition as a trophy.
I see Ashley nodding her head. Have you been involved with preparation or maintaining the book?
Yes, I have. It's a lot of work, but we each set our own parts that we have to do and kind of put it all together.
So this is the documentation for the entire project, so that if you – and is it a physical printed book or is it electronic?
It's a printed – like a physical printed book.
That's – I think is a good thing to do because it keeps you in touch with the physical reality of this. Do you remember having to keep a book, Zach, when you participated?
Yeah, there's no doubt there. There was years that it was over 150 pages just from – documentation, all your CADs, your pictures of your receipts, all that.
And have you found any applicability as you've started college? You might be in some general freshman classes now, I'm not sure, but I'm curious whether the experience of having to document in a book like that has applied to what you're doing.
I haven't seen the documentation part come into effect too much, other than like when you're doing your homework assignments, there's just certain guidelines between your teachers you have to follow. I've seen more of the prior CAD knowledge come into play. I've already had to have prior CAD knowledge probably 4 or 5 times.
That's got to be super helpful. So we talked about CAD and getting the drawing done, and we haven't gotten to the part that you two are passionate about, which is actually dealing with the physical components. Once you go from CAD, what's the next step in the manufacturing process that you're modeling here with Bots IQ?
You meet with your industrial partners, which is required to get in the Bots IQ.
So these are working engineers or manufacturers. And what are those meetings? I'm not asking you to quiz you. I'm just curious. Share with me what it's been like for you. This is a mentor that sort of takes you through and helps you.
Yeah.
Who were your mentors?
Mine for Fox Chapel was L&S Machining up in La Trobe.
And what company did you guys work with?
I'm not exactly sure what it's called. But I know there's a guy that we work with. His name's Ed Fries. And we worked with his company. And then he ended up moving to a different one, so it just kind of...
It's Quality Mold. That's also in La Trobe.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm not trying to stump you with a question. So what did these professionals do to help you? Did they look at your CAD drawings and comment on them? Did they help you figure out materials? What was next?
When you go up, you sit down, you know, you talk about the stuff in your robot. You talk about, you know, maybe this needs to be changed. They actually help you out a lot. You know, if there's something you can't mill at your school, like titanium or something, they'll do it. They'll help you out with it.
Very cool. Do you have to come up with a parts list?
Yeah.
And that's probably pretty early in the process. When you do that, do you pick things that exist already, or do you make up your own stuff? Like, how do you know what you need?
Just from prior years, you know, you change up everything you need.
Okay, so just like somebody manufacturing a new car, like Tesla is a good example, relatively new. He's not going to start from scratch. He's going to look at how other automobiles have been manufactured and look at that whole body of knowledge to come up with what may be some very different parts. So you mentioned wiring and the actual physical manufacturing. In both of your cases, I think something you're both passionate about. Ashley, tell me, like, what have you actually, what do you do to get this thing together?
So, like, I learned wiring from mechatronics, like, at my tech school. And I kind of, like, used that and put that towards Bots IQ and learned how to wire it and put it all together. And
And what components were you wiring?
I was wiring ESCs and motors, and we have to have a light and a switch, so it just kind of all.
What's an ESC?
An ESC is electronic speed control.
Okay, so these are all controlled remotely, right? Without, or wirelessly, I should say, I would hope.
Yes.
Is that the way it's done? What about the wiring that you got involved with, Thomas?
It's actually very similar to the hose. It's speed control, you know, weapon motors, drive motors, all of it, the same battery boxes. You have to have an LED.
Is the weapon the nose you were talking about?
No.
What's the weapon?
The weapon for us is a beetle ball. It's actually what, you know, what's spinning. It's what's hitting.
Okay. So it's a beater bar, kind of like what would be on a vacuum cleaner that's just going to beat. Is that the same weapon you
have
that's as well?
Yeah, like, that's exactly what we have too.
Is that a standard, or is it just something commonly used in battle bots?
It's the most dominant. That's for sure. It's the most dominant. There's different stages you can go. There's, I think, at least six different weapon types you can go to between wedges, horizontal spinner, vertical spinners, full body spinners. It all depends on where you want to take it. You leave a whole bunch of creativity. Even if you want to use an axe on the top, you can use an axe. It all depends on what your creativity says for your design.
Wow, this is really interesting. If you're just joining us, we're talking with three teens who either are part of the current Bots IQ program, which takes place in over 50 high schools throughout the area. In the case of Zach, whose voice you just heard, he's now in college but emerged from the program and continues to help with it. Bots IQ, Southwestern Pennsylvania Bots IQ, is designed to help encourage kids to learn more about manufacturing and opportunities. And also with us is Bill Padnos, representing the organization. This time is flying by. Open to the public is this culminating celebration, and let's talk about that. That starts this Friday, right?
Correct. It starts this Friday, April 28th, and Saturday, April 29th, down at California University of Pennsylvania in their amazing Convocation Center. Plenty of free parking. It's free to come in. It's open to anyone and everyone who wants to come on down. On Friday, the competition will start around 10 a.m. and usually goes to about 6 p.m., 6:30. Then on Saturday, we start about 9 a.m. And again, we go about 6 p.m., 6:30, because we have over 77 teams from 60 different high schools that are competing, over 1,000 students. There's a lot that goes on over those 2 days. We also have a STEAM showcase that's taking place also on Saturday from 10 to 3, where we have local schools and also Youth Express Radio that will be there to show off what they have. And so there's a lot of interactive exhibits that are there as well.
That will be great. AIU-1, I believe it is, Allegheny Intermediate Unit 1. I think, do I have that right?
Yes, IU-1. IU-1 is one of them. EQT Foundation helps support it as well. And we also part with the Grable Foundation and Remake Learning as also a big part of this, able to make this happen.
Yeah, how exciting. Yeah, I've been to IU-1, and they have amazing resources there. And Youth Express will be there. We're going to be interviewing live and bringing you some of the activities, and it's really a great deal of fun. There's questions I want to ask each of the younger folks here, but is there anything about Bots IQ or the overall outlook for manufacturing and for job opportunities that we have not covered that we should mention, Bill?
Well, I think the most important thing is what you mentioned right off the bat, just to be able to say again, is how many opportunities there are in manufacturing that people don't realize that. And they don't realize also that it's not necessarily with in terms of education, you need to have technical skills. You need to have critical thinking skills. But those are skills that the manufacturers themselves will help you to acquire. So if you are graduating, like Thomas is going to be with from high school, from Fox Chapel, then going to New Century Careers, which is a 18-week training program, after 18 weeks, he'll have a job. So he'll start the program in, say, July and have a job by November. And that company that hires him, and there's going to be 5, 6, 10 companies wanting to hire him, they're going to pay for his education for a machinist apprenticeship program. They're going to pay for his education, go back for an associate's degree, and if he wants, for a bachelor's degree as well. So when everyone is so worried about what the cost of education is, manufacturing and manufacturers will invest in their employees. So it's not education right away, but it's continuous learning, as I want to be able to say more.
Well, and it's also no debt or little debt, which is one of the most important aspects, I think. Knowing so many folks in their 20s that are riddled with so much college debt. Well, it's exciting. How can folks learn more about, there may be some teachers or parents listening who would like to get involved in next year's program?
Well, the number one is our website, which is botsiqpa.org. And right there, we have that information if you're interested in learning more about like machinist training programs, New Century Careers, which is ncsquared.com. There's more information on that. Or they can go to Explore the New Manufacturing, Google that, and there's a website that we have with Catalyst Connection with more information. But even check out the local community colleges, because there's amazing programs that are out there and at CalU where they can really see where they can, with not as much having to spend, as you said about the debt, where there's amazing opportunities that are out there to get a post-secondary education that will then lead them to a job that they will have for the rest of their lives.
I did want to turn back to you all, and I'll start again with you, Zach, just to ask if there's anything that I neglected to ask you that you wanted to say. And also, I'm curious where you see yourself after school, what you might be doing.
Honestly, it all really depends on how my education goes. I have an idea of where I want to go with a job out of high school, not high school, college, but depending on where I finish my class or something I get, where I get job offers, that could completely change.
I think that's really smart, because you don't know what you don't know yet. As you learn things, you're going to have different options, I think. Do you think you would want to be working in a plant, though, or do you have a sense of that?
Honestly, I kind of really enjoy just the overall aspect of it. So anywhere that I go, I won't mind. I kind of do wish that I would have taken the route that Thomas is taking, though, because already seeing a 1 year in the vast difference it could have made in my education, it all really depends on routes you take.
Yeah, it sounds like you see all aspects of this too. You might be a great manager in a manufacturing environment also. Let's turn to Thomas, since you just mentioned him. It sounds like you've got a pretty tight plan. You'll be going to be an apprentice after graduation, is that right?
Yeah, I'll be going to New Century Careers to follow the line about machining and all that. And like Bill said, depending on after 18 weeks, depending on who picks me up, they can either send me back for more or they'll pick me up and I can be an apprentice to their program.
Excellent. And do you have a sense, once you're working on your own, will you be in a machine shop in a particular environment, or do you have a sense of what you might, you know, your dream would be?
I mean, honestly, for me, it kind of like Zach, no matter where I go, it'd be fine with me. Kind of like machining. I mean, walking in a little machine shop, big machine shop, it doesn't matter to me.
That's great. It's good to do something you like doing. That's especially important. What about you, Ashley?
After high school, I definitely want to, like, further my career in it. And my dad was talking about New Century Careers, and it's definitely a really good opportunity to go and study for it. And then after I leave, there's going to be so many jobs that I can, like, go and I'm okay with, and that's
terrific. That's yeah. Good. And I hope that folks will come out and see you coming up on Friday and Saturday. We'll put a picture of you guys up on our Facebook page so they can see you as well. Bill, anything else we should mention? You've got to be really proud of this program.
We are extremely proud of this program. We started 12 years ago with 5 schools, and it's grown to over 60 schools on a consistent basis over the past couple of years. Having over 1,000 students involved in the program, especially when there's a need every year for 1,300 machinists per year for the next 10 years in this region. We have over 1,000 high school students involved. So our key thing is, yes, it's great. We want the whole public to come out and see what's going on, see what these students are doing, learning about manufacturing. But we also want the local manufacturers to realize that we have 1,000 students that they can recruit from, that they can engage and they can recruit. And so they need workers. 97% of manufacturers have a severe to moderate shortage of skilled labor. We have the skilled labor for them ready to be plucked and taken.
That's terrific. Well, look at their website for more information. We've linked from slbradio.org. Thanks to all of you, Ashley and Zach and Thomas and Bill. We appreciate your being with us today.
Thank you very much.